Hey everyone, this is the first episode I recorded for this podcast. So yeah, I mean, it's not it's not that enthusiastic as I wanted it to be. But yeah, I anyway went through it because, you know, the first step to progress is to start. So yeah, I hope you like it and I hope you don't mind the mistakes. So yeah, enjoy. Hello everyone, this is the first episode of Wouldn't You Know It, and today, as you have guessed from the headlines, we'll talk about China. You know, the infamous China, hell-bent on global dominance. But today we'll talk about a different aspect. You know, everyone is talking about boycotting China, how Chinese socialism is hell-bent on eradicating democracy, how Chinese economy, the Chinese Communist Party, is trying to destroy every other country. But something that nobody is focusing on is why. Why is China doing so? Why is China, has every other country as its enemy? Why China never listens to anyone? This was very curious to me at the first sight. Like, everyone is talking about the mid, in a story, there is an origin, there is a mid, and then there is a end. But here, everyone seems to talk about the mid and the end. No one is focusing on the origin. That's very surprising, right? Being in India, this Chinese thing is everywhere. People are throwing TVs. People are throwing their smartphones as a statement, to boycott China. But I don't know, this feels kind of weird to me. I mean, yeah, it's great you are making a statement, but would destroying your own purchased property really do it? I mean, can we stop China by just boycotting a few goods? There is... I did some research, and I found out very interesting stuff, which obviously I am recording to let you know. But let's start from the beginning. The time of imperial colonialism. That's right, British. At the beginning of everything is British. I don't know why. The story starts with the 100 years of humiliation. I have made some points. Yeah. So the main reason China is at war with everyone is because the century of humiliation, which began in 1839 and ended in 1949, with the independence of China. That's formally accepted as the independence of China because British gave away Hong Kong and left the continent forever. That's kind of China's win over British colonialism. And that's entire 2 years after India got its independence. So that's something to say, right? We were 2 years ahead and yet China went ahead us. I mean, it's pretty clear, right? Anyways, I'm not here to make any political statement. I am not at the seat of power. I am not in any government to assess or even assume anything. We are just here to discuss, to know why this is happening. So century of humiliation was, you can say, as from the name itself, was a completely messed up period for China. the British, the French, America, everyone was trying to divide up China and have a portion of the land. There, you can read more about. I mean, I will not go into that much detail. Obviously, I'm not a researcher of history or something. I'm just stating out the general facts, which I think has led to the Chinese policies to China becoming what it is today. I think that's the case. Yeah, anyway, so the century of humiliation, in this period, women were raped, children were killed, there were wars after wars, you know, they destroyed all the palace. I think the main palace which they destroyed is still in ruins as a memory to what British did to China. It is still there. Yeah, you can read about it. So they destroyed everything. They looted whatever they can. You know, typical British way, like they did in every other country. But you can say in a way, China was at a greater disadvantage than India was. You know, from what I am reading, yeah, no doubt, British humiliated us too. Yeah, British ruled over us. They have done a lot of things. But, you know, I can't say exactly what has happened. I wasn't there, right? I'm just reading. So, yeah, so during this period, this all stuff, you know, this abuse against women, against children, killing of families, looting, war, and then there was famine, drought, a lot of stuff. You know, this completely messed up China. And due to technological advancements, they couldn't even defeat British. They tried to fight, they lost the wars, and then they had to agree to whatever British, France, America had to say. So like this, the country was divided, and that's how Hong Kong was a part of England and Macau was a part of, I think, the Dutch Denmark. And yeah, so after the independence in 1949, China's leader, the Communist Party of China, his leader Mao Zedong, I think I'm pronouncing it pretty wrong, but you can get it. Mao Zedong. So the name is quite, I wouldn't comment about the name anyways. This is kind of racist. So, yeah. So Mao Zedong was the, you can say he was like a freedom fighter for China. And yeah, Chinese Communist Party, just like Indian National Congress, was present at the time. And they have fought a lot of civil wars, a lot of, you know, just like in India, a lot of war had happened. They went through a lot and finally they got independence. But unlike us Indians, Mao Zedong never forgot what British did to them. He made sure the Chinese people never forget what had happened to them. He made sure the century of humiliation was remembered every year for generations to come as a show of foreign invasion, as a show of what foreigners can do, what foreign forces can do if we are not united. He made that as a propaganda to unite the people, and it worked. Obviously, when you have done so much of terrible, miserable things, people will obviously come against it, and they hailed Mao Zedong as a leader. That's how he became the Communist Party of China's leader. And Mao Zedong's principles, even his working at the government, was based on this. He made sure that China would take revenge for everything those Westerners have done. But he also knew he couldn't defeat America, UK, or any of the European or Western countries, because World War II had happened. They had seen, all of us have seen, what happened when you mess with the Western countries. So Mao Zedong knew he couldn't win by force, so he made sure he win by brain. Yeah, kind of cheesy statement there, but yeah, he made a long-term plan which nobody saw through. I mean, people were all about US versus Russia, but nobody looked at China. So how did it happen? So first things the China did was what I'll say, the basic thing, you know, if you want to defeat an enemy, the first thing you should do is grab their pockets. Strength is where money is, right? At least it is now. So accordingly, Mao Zedong saw, you know, a population of million, or even that time, China had one of the largest population in the world, and he made sure, you know, his people were fed well, were brought up well. He made them educated. Only I read the report. Only 20% were educated before this, no century of humiliation. But after this, he made around 80% of the population educated. That's a great thing. Along with this, a lot of oppression has happened. I'm not saying he did everything good. As per what I read, he had done both good and bad. But he paved the way for the communism that is present in China right now. So he made the plan, right? Chinese dominance all over the world. You cannot fight with force, but you have labor. And the best way to use it, as we can see right now, you know, China manufactures everything in this world. So what happened is, China used its population to both bring jobs and bring the labor cost down. It brought the labor cost down so much that Westerners, you know, couldn't, what I'll say, you know, when you show a hungry boy any food, right? Let it be chocolate or let it be something they don't even want, they never like to eat, they will still eat it because they are hungry. So something like this happened, you know, at the situation, you know, that time. So what happened is, China offered something which no Western country, they couldn't deny it. It's simply, you know, too good a chance to pass. So every single company started having their manufacturing facilities in China. And the government saw this as a great opportunity. Not only that, no, they fostered this, like they forced people out of their own homes to get land to build factories, get land to build all of this infrastructure so that they will attract the whole world. Then something great happened I think in 2003 or 1, China joined World Trade Organization. At that time, US President Bill Clinton, I think, he said, by allowing China to join world, I mean, what I'll say, his hope was by allowing China to join the World Trade Organization, they could maybe penetrate democracy into China like they have done in all other countries. You know, Russia also fell, Soviet Union also fell, communism didn't work there, right? So they thought, yeah, if we allow China into World Trade Organization, then maybe communism will also be eradicated from China. He was very confident of it. That's why they allowed China to join World Trade Organization. But you know, China learned from every mistake of every other country. They were not so to give up so easily. So what happened is, China joined World Trade Organization. Then they did a very clever thing. They didn't allow any country into their own, sorry, they didn't allow any company into their own country, but they began selling stuff to other countries. Chinese companies began infiltrating Western countries, but Western companies couldn't infiltrate Chinese companies. That's because China had clever tactics, clever politics. They said, if you want to enter China, if any of the Western companies or Indian company, any company in the world, if they want to enter China and their origin is not China, which makes sense. Anyways, and their origin is not China. They have to share their business secret, the business they will do in China, that business secret, technology, tactics, everything with a Chinese company. So they essentially made other companies impossible to enter. Right? Who would want to share their secret, right? I mean, if you have a brilliant product, would you want to share it with anyone? No, right? So other companies preferred staying away rather than partnering up with another company and joining, going into China. But meanwhile, what happened is, you know, Chinese clones, product clones, we have seen it, everyone, right? So China started producing clones. This is a classic Chinese strategy, like dumping, right? I think you must have heard about it. You can watch a lot of YouTube channels have documented all this process very clearly. I'm just stating it in a generalized fact. This is how dumping began, right? So what happened is, they reverse engineered all the products available everywhere, and because they had this labor, immense huge labor, they started having a cheaper version of those products, and they started flooding it with Chinese names. So what happened is, yes, as you can see right now, you know, in India, and yeah, primarily in India this has happened, but also in other countries. If you ask every single product company owner what is their greatest fear, they will say it's China. You know, Chinese companies creating clones and selling everywhere. So what happens is, when you make clones and try to sell them, a lot of people, like, we think entire mass is educated and all, but no, that's just very small percentage of people who are actually geeky enough, who are actually techie enough to know stuff, you know, from close enough perspective. You can actually fool a lot of the population. So what that is that they dumped every country with these cheap products, and they flushed the competition out of the market. The same thing happened with natural resources. Like, China would dump steel, China would dump iron, China would dump a lot of things in a lot of country. So much so that the companies of their own country wouldn't be able to compete, and then they would go bankrupt and then close shop. And then China will begin selling the same products at a higher price. It's a classic, you know, technique by that is used by Amazon. First they would sell at a loss, after after the competition is erased, then they will sell the same product at a higher price. This is also being worked at the country level. So you would ask, like, how could anyone do that? Because the Chinese government is helping every single company who wants to dump, who wants to, like every company, as in say every single company in that is established in China has a good relationship with the Chinese government. It's a communist party after all. So if you are not in favor to the government, then they will definitely kick you out. And China has very strict policies. They will kill you. They'll do stuff you don't want yourself to be done. So let's just settle at that. And then there are other stuff. Like, you must have all heard of Shenzhen, like the greatest electronic city on earth. So what happens is, and this is a good aspect, I mean, this is primary reason why other countries are not able to set up manufacturing shops. So let's say you want to build a new smartphone product, or let's say you have a completely new smartphone design that you are confident enough will sell everywhere. You need to prototype it, right? So usually what happens, prototyping means you will have custom built parts and you'll assemble it, and then you will have iterations of it over and over, and then you'll come to a final design. That is what will go to the factories for mass production. So what happens is, Shenzhen has such a good and cohesive electronic market that you can build a prototype within hours. Even if your design is completely new, Shenzhen has factories, Shenzhen has people, and Shenzhen has all this stuff. You know, they can help you out, prototype anything. within hours. That is something not present in any country at this moment. Like this is, that is rapid fast prototyping. No country in the world has that capacity right now. And second thing is, I read about this on a New York Times article. Like the reason America, Apple wasn't able to produce Mac Pros in America was because of a screw, a tiny screw. I was surprised, like what screw? So I read more about it. Then I learned, you know, our products have a lot of screws, like different kinds of screws. And very surprisingly, you know, none of the countries in the world have a production rate that is enough to satisfy the consumer demand. Only China has those factories that can produce billions and billions of screws in hours. I'll say manufacturing prowess is something, you know, that keeping China as the manufacturing hub of the world. And right now, nobody even has the capacity to build such things. China has been doing it for years. They have perfected the technique. They have perfected the manufacturing process. You just can't beat that. That is something, it requires years of expertise, years of, what I'll say, finesse. Like, it's something that gets better as you spend more time. China has had a lot of time. A whole lot of time. So, yeah. That's another thing. So yeah, to sum up right now, I'll say, see, century of humiliation led to Chinese policies being centered around stuff that they will dominate the world, and they started by targeting the pocket, the money making machine, right? Manufacturing. And they started with that, and then they did dumping, right? Another thing is, you know, the China has a hostility towards all of its bordering countries, and that because China believes this border and everything, you know, surrounding the sea border, everything, all the borders was decided by the British when they left these countries. So it being a British thing, China doesn't want to agree to it. Very simple. That is why China is claiming that this territory is mine, that territory is mine. Yeah, also I forgot something. Century of humiliation, Japan was also involved. That's why China and Japan are so staunch enemies. Yeah. Okay, let's come back. So that's why China is not accepting any border, especially, you know, Indian border. There's what I believe, you know, they are not accepting. And they are not even saying why they are not accepting. But what I believe after reading all this stuff is because the border was set by the British. It wasn't on a, what I'll say, mutual understanding or agreement. British set the border and they went away. And that's why China is not agreeing to it. I think China wants war because they think that it's the only way, it's the only true natural way of setting border disputes. They don't want to agree to something that the British have said. And that's why China is always at war with India. They want a war. They are always very hostile towards India. They want a war. They want wage a war, win or lose, settle the border dispute. That's what they want, I guess. That's why they are always at war with us. Right. And yeah, there are other techniques like, you know, China gained the technological dominance but by reverse engineering a lot of things. There are a lot of people, like China is the world's most populous country. If you have made the 80% of the mass educated already, that means you have a lot of labor force, people wanting to work. And obviously, so what happened is China then saw a good opportunity of helping out poorer nations in a way that will make them, what I'll say, fall for the tactics, you know, Chinese money trap, you might have heard of it. So what they do is they loan out huge sums of money to poorer countries like African countries, Sri Lanka, a lot of Maldives, yeah, a lot of countries who are, you know, whose economy is significantly low. And then they ask after all the infrastructure and everything is built, they ask for the money back. Now these being poorer countries, they know they can never repay. We all know, China also knows that they can never repay back with interest, the billions of dollars, right? They can never repay those things back. And so what happens is China now asks control, no, at least controlling position in those infrastructure that the country have built. And like this, they have had control of a port in Sri Lanka, of a port in Maldives, of airports, a lot of things in a lot of countries. They have had a network of controlling infrastructure in a lot of countries, ports, airports, construction companies, a lot of stuff. This is a Chinese money trap. You can read more about it. You can read full in-depth analysis done by a lot of YouTubers. You can go and search and go gala all over that. But yeah, this is one technique. It's a very good technique actually. You know, meanwhile, Russia and China are fighting for dominance. Russia and America are fighting for dominance. And China is doing all these things in secret. And they have succeeded. They have a lot of territory under their control. And it's now a threat. That's why America, especially Donald Trump, is very hostile. I mean, let's leave at Trump. But America is very hostile because of the same reasons. They feel threatened now because of these policies. Like, even US doesn't know where all China has its hand now. Many countries are at debt to China. They can't do anything except giving them controlling positions. So yeah, that's something. Meanwhile, how I'll explain this. You know how you pass on a message in a group of people, and the initial message which is passed turns out to be very different at the end. Similar things might have happened. So what I'm saying is Mao Zedong's original principles have been twisted over the years. So he made those principles to unite China and gain world dominance, right? But what has happened is successive rulers, or I'll say successive successors, they have twisted the facts, they have twisted the principles, they have twisted the rules. And they realized one day or the other their communist party won't be the ruling party anymore, and so they started oppressiveness inside China, and technology helped them. Yeah, this was China is one of the most worst case usage of surveillance technology. Surveillance technology helped them a lot. So what China did is set up facial recognition, data collection, everything, everything that the 21st century technology offers, China uses it against its own people. Chinese people are being oppressed. It's a fact. Nobody can deny this. They have a social system, a social credit system or something. I forgot about that. But what I know is, yeah, if you if you break a traffic rule, or if you do not follow rules or regulations anywhere, there are cameras everywhere in China. So if you break a rule, these cameras have your face, and using the facial recognition technology, they know your bank account, they know your passport and everything. They will just penalize you. They will prevent you from getting loans, they will prevent you from getting admissions, from getting jobs. That's how they're oppressing you. And that's the same reason they also prevented Facebook, Google and every social media company, because they didn't want Western ideas to invade China. They didn't want democracy in China. They didn't want a civil war. Like this, they started oppressing the people. And cannot explain properly, I guess, but you might still get it. You know how to oppress parents, and then it follows on through the family, right? Psychological, right? You need a psychological overpowering. So you oppress one generation and it begins to creep up through the generations. Same thing has happened in China. And yeah, there is oppression, no doubt, but it's being, you know, aggressively teared down, you know, burned. People are killed, families are threatened. A lot of things like this are happening. So yeah, at the end of it, what China is doing is definitely wrong, you know. I understand the British oppression thing that's going on, but yeah, every country was oppressed by the British. That doesn't mean every country will start taking revenge. But yeah, you need to know this, that not every Chinese person is with the Chinese government. So yeah, definitely boycott China, but boycott Chinese government, do not boycott Chinese people, right? I understand the some might disagree, like everybody might disagree with my statement right now, but please understand this, you know, the origin story, why they have done it. That doesn't mean China is good. China is definitely doing worse things and they need to be controlled, right? But yeah, we can defeat China. We can suppress we can definitely tear down their communism, right? Like a civil war. Civil war is the only thing that can tear it down. Or, you know, mass protests, right? Like it should come from within the people, right? That definitely can be done. Countries need to come together. You know, China is also a permanent member of the UN Security Council. That poses a big problem. Like whatever resolution they bring up, China does its veto thing and stops it. But yeah, China can be defeated. And let's hope communism is gone from this world forever. If you like this podcast, do not forget to follow. Yeah, first time here, so please bear the minor difficulties I'm having while speaking. Anyways, if you like this podcast, then definitely give it a follow and definitely write to me. Yeah, send your feedback on Twitter @AsitKhanda, right? See ya. If you like this podcast, do not forget to follow. It doesn't cost money. And be sure to provide your feedback to me on Twitter @AsitKhanda. That's right. AsitKhanda. See ya.